We're at a quarter of a century. This is episode 25 of the Personal Development Project. And I'm joined once again by my right-hand man, Marley Gunter, on the first recording of the new year, 2022. And Marley's just telling me in the little preamble, he thinks this is a seminal conversation. The topic of today is a quote that I got from a podcast that I listen to, Sean Croxton's quote of the day, and that is, bless that which you wish. And there are many ways that I intend to take it. We have the next hour or so to do so, but for now, I want to welcome Marley Gunter to the stage once again. How are you?
Hola, mi hermano. Muy bien. Yeah, I'm good. Let me not lie. I'm not good. I'm scared.
Okay. How come?
Scared to take the next steps. Scared to step into my lane. Step into my purpose. Step into my vision. Step into my direction. Step into my calling.
Do you think you found it? Because for over a year now, almost 2 years now, we've been saying at the PD Project, one of the definitions that we have for personal development is finding yourself and your path. And hopefully there's a lot of path, but potentially do you think you found the next couple steps? And this is, okay, a bit of fear before hopping into it, before traversing that path.
Just a... Ooh.
It's a privileged place to be in, to have found it. It's been a long search. It's definitely been a long search, but I do think today's topic gets straight to that. I think today's topic, part of why I want to pursue it, is similar. I think I've found at least the next few steps on my path. And there's an element of fear. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a large element of fear. I wouldn't say it's a debilitating element of fear for me. I'm now looking at, as I was saying on a call with Marley about a week ago, I think I figured out how to get about 80, 85% out of myself. There's a little 10 or 15% that is either on the fence or objects to where I'm trying to go, to who I'm trying to be. And that's what I'm applying a bit more focus to, in particular with this episode, Bless That Which You Wish. And Marley summed it up beautifully. I think today's episode is addressing the question of, do I want to be the sort of person that would get whatever I want to do done? Because on the surface level, the answer is always yes. But when you go a bit further, I think we both have multiple accounts of where, maybe there's 10 or 15% of us that fears that in doing what we want to do, we're turning into the very person that we don't want to be.
Yeah.
The way we wanted to approach this, Marley, is, okay, your path at the minute seems like music. I should have done a bit more work to find out which episode it was, but I think it was an episode this season where you were speaking to me about, okay, taking these steps on the path of music, taking these steps on the path of personal development. It almost feels as if it's taking you away from the person you used to be and the person people knew, the person people already accepted, the person who people saw as normal. Speak to me about that. I think you know where we are.
Yeah, just, I'm in a bit of a kind of bind at the moment, because it's like, right, one hand of me is like, I respect the growth, I respect the progress, considerable bounds and leaps have been made. Just
in this next chapter, we're talking about when we embark on our chosen path or get what we want. We often don't bless our unfolding or prospective reality, but rather look at it with discontent. This is an invitation to bless that which we wished for, as to feel better and less conflicted about our choices and lived experience.
Being out in Spain, just growing, finding my feet a bit more, just finding my voice, finding myself more comfortable in my skin. I'm like, all right, good. But on the flip side, it's that this is, well, the past Christmas made it two Christmases in a row where I've spent Christmas on my Jack Jones.
Mm.
Haven't been back to the UK in about a year and 3 months, which London has been my home for 22 years. This is it's all I knew.
Mm.
And I'm finding myself now like, oh, right, okay. We can see the next steps, but this is just going to push me further away from everybody else, at least in my mind as it feels. Mm. Do I really want to be pushing myself further away from the people that I love?
Back in the day, yeah. two decades ago almost, to a much larger extent, we all came from the same place. We all did the same things. We all played the same games. We all watched the same TV shows because we were young. Because we were young and we were in it together. And more as things have gone on, you branch outwards. You each find your own little separate path. That means where we did pretty much standard GCSEs not too long ago, you're on something completely different too. I'm on, and probably almost everyone that you know is on. You're in a completely different country to most of the people that you know. Your conversations are different. Your aspirations are different. Your past experiences are different. Your interests are different. And I've been feeling similar. Because when you identify, okay, yes, this is what I want to commit myself to. This is what I want to double down on. You start to make a lot of sacrifices, if you want to call them sacrifices. Or you start to orient a lot more of the things in your life towards that. And inevitably you miss out on a lot of what you used to have. A lot of what you could have had. A lot of what other people had. And where I was coming with this is, bless that which you want. You can start feeling like a bit of a recluse.
Mm.
Like a bit of a Billy No Mates. Like a bit of a obsessive. Eunice is just about, he's got his one or two things that he does, and you know, no, he's not with you wherever you are. He's in his room, he's on his laptop, he's at the office, he's wherever he is. And as brilliant as that is, you can start to think, again, previous episode, who am I in light of this? A recluse? A nerd? Insane? I don't know. But I take it from the smile on your face that you can relate, Marley.
Went to play basketball with my boy Jose. He's my main guy that I chill with out here. And he was just asking me about, you know, my living situation, you know, going out with friends, because he hadn't seen me in a while. So he sees me rocking up, bopping from side to side with my music playing, just in my own world with my with my pink hair, just happy.
Mm.
But my man on the other end, his reaction was just like, what the f-? Like, just looked at me just like, what have you done, bro? Like, like, I was like, well, I just changed my hair, boss. Like, you know, but he's just looking at me like, not to say he doesn't rate it, but mate, you weren't this, the last time I saw you, that this wasn't going on.
Mm.
So things just led into a conversation, just started asking me, you know, about music, and like the social activities that I engage in. And I'm like, nah, boss, don't really, only time I step out my yard is supermarket and to get fresh air and exercise. Like, this is voluntary lockdown.
Precisely.
And you realize how disengaged you are from everything else, you know, everything else, like your average, or so it seems, 22-year-old is, you know, just focused on, I wouldn't say focused on having solely a good time, but going out with mates, going to clubs, going to bars, getting on the pool, getting on the sesh. Obviously, you've got your uni, you've got your work, but...
Here we talk about our internal conflicts. Often there are two sides to us when we're evaluating or realizing any prospective future. There is a side of us that is in support of it, and the side of us that is against us, our aims, and the moves we need to make.
Where I've felt is, I feel like I'm too serious. Like, I've always considered myself to be a jovial guy, like I'm always smiling, I'm always laughing, but the kinds of conversations I like to have aren't standard. You know?
Yes, I'm going to pause you there because there's already loads. So remember where you were, but there's already loads and I don't want to get too far. What you said there, voluntary lockdown. I remember a couple months into lockdown, I did the first lockdown largely on my own. A couple weeks, maybe a couple months into lockdown, I remember thinking, hold on, Eunice. Why are you not lonely at all? I've barely seen anyone in the past couple of weeks. I remember thinking, almost every other part of your university experience, you've been in contact with infinitely more people. This is the most secluded you've ever been in your life. Why are you not lonely? And I think it's because our perspective changed. Without lockdown, to be this kind of guy that just stays at home, is on his laptop doing his stuff, is cooking for himself, is this, is that, is not really leaving the house. You were a social reject. You were a loser. Then everyone's forced into exactly the same position. And it's like, I no longer long for that fully socially connected lifestyle because I know it's impossible. So I feel more secure in myself and where I'm at. So when you said, when you used that phrase, voluntary lockdown, this for me is highlighting the fact that in a lot of ways, we don't bless that which we wish. We wake up thinking, okay, this week I want to put in this much amount of work on this, that, and the other. But part of you is looking as you're going down this lifestyle as it's manifesting more and more. Part of you is looking and thinking, you're living the life of a social reject, mate. You're cooped up wherever it is, in your park, in your room, in your office, in your kitchen. You're saying no to social event this, social event that, this kind of life, that kind of life. And where I want to approach it is, okay, there's a lot of places I want to go. There's a lot of things that I want to do. I want to start asking myself that question that we explored in the previous episode. Who would I be in light of this? What's my plan? What would I need to do? Who would I look like? How would I need to think? And take a good, hard look at that person. And if it's truly what I want to do, if it's truly who I want to be, I need to bless that person. If I need to be cooped up behind a laptop as a social recluse, let me change how I view, how I think about, how I feel about laptop duty. Because that will allow me to double down and maybe not feel so insecure. Maybe not have so much anxiety about the person I'm becoming and the life that I'm leading. On the flip side, if I've afforded myself that much effort to, okay, envisage this, I may look at that person and think, nah, never. He's not what I want to be. He's not who I stand for. At least I know. Because I was headed down a path that I never really wanted to go down in the first place. So that, I like that. Voluntary lockdown, I think that illustrates the whole premise of this episode. And you were saying that. I feel like I've been getting more and more serious, whereas I was a bit more of a relaxed, laissez-faire kind of guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I relate. Oh, gosh. I relate. And I'll segue this, hand over to you to speak a bit about authenticity. Touched on it again in the previous episode. Some of our positive aspirations in looking back, like, who am I in light of this? And you're just like, oh, good intentions, but the seriousness has been one of those for me. I as well used to be I could be very serious, but I had the other side that would balance it out. I feel like I've doubled down a bit more on the serious side. It's positive, it's useful, but there's some resistance there. What's your experience?
My experience is... I was an absolute comedian. Absolute, like, comedian. Like, man wasn't telling jokes. Man was a joke. Just, like, not taking things seriously at all. Mm. Just laughing to the point where it's just like, this isn't even funny. Like, you know. And it's like, as I'm getting older, it's like, nah, that Donnie's... I don't even know where that Donnie is. That Donnie is not there. That Donnie is not there. Where is he? Like, rah. Because it comes to the point, it does cause friction. Because it's now I'm liable, not necessarily for things to get techie, but I take what people say a bit more seriously because I'm taking my life a bit more seriously. So what might have got a bit more of a kind of moment now is like, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say here? Like, this is like, is there meat to this? Is there substance to this? Like, am I... Which is met with resistance from some. That, oh, you're overreacting. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, it's just a joke. Oh, you're so intense. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it comes with when you can start to see the truth within yourself. You can see maybe falsities and deceit in other people. Maybe, I don't know. Not to say I'm the barometer of truth, but where I'm at now is nothing is a joke. Like, everything means something.
Do you think that's helped you? Is that something that you are looking to double down on? And it's all right to fragment yourself into maybe part of you says yes, part of you says no. Speak to me about the part of yourself that says yes.
Part of me that says yes is just like, no, we're not about, like, I've got a job here to do. I've come a long way. There's a long way to go.
Too much skin in the game, yeah.
Trust, strap your socks up. I'm doing this for my future kids. Doing this for my future wife. I'm doing this for my family. This means something. Like that. Load up, mate. Load up. And there's a part of myself that's like, if I start moving like this, people already feel like they've lost me. The people in my life, they already feel like they've lost me. Like, if I'm doing this, who am I in light of this? I don't know. Just a tyrant. Oh, we've got to speak correctly around Marley. Marley doesn't like low vibrational energies. Because where I'm at now, I was like, really and truly, everything in my life needs to be directed around my purpose and my vision. Really and truly, if I'm serious about what I'm trying to do, everything, family, you're coming, nah, my music comes first. Which does throw you into accusations of being selfish. I've heard that labelled around a lot. You're selfish, you don't care about me. If you cared about us, you'd come back. You're in your head. Manus, if you double down on this, what, are you just even more of a selfish, inconsiderate jerk? Because that's how you feel.
And like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what, do we bless what we wish? When we look at, okay, how do I actually feel about this? This is my goal. Everything in my life needs to be serving my purpose. One of the most beautiful positions you could ever find yourself in. Of course you want to dive right into that path. And then I feel like there's the other side of me that's like, oh, hold on, Eunice. Eunice has long been very serious, very intense. People have asked me, like, do people feel the need to like walk on eggshells around you. I'm like, what? Because in my head, I see myself as a fairly easygoing guy. This is just me. Mm. You use that label selfish, a big fear for me. When you've dedicated all of yourself to this, are you being selfish? I remember I had a conversation with you a couple years ago. I think it was you. And you were saying, you have a duty to the people. Like, you have a duty to your friends. Your friends expect to actually have a friend in Eunice. So on the one hand, I'm thinking, yes, absolutely. Let's double down. Let's get it done. Let's smash this next week, month, decade out of the park. On the other hand, I'm thinking, ooh. Do I want to be the sort of person that would actually get this done? That would actually live their life like that? You've frozen for me on the screen. I'm just wondering if your audio is still with me.
No, it should be.
Yeah. Okay. We go on to explore our opposing side, the side of ourselves who resists the person we see ourselves becoming. Marley uses the example of his growing seriousness. I ask about how he views and treats the seriousness within me, as to identify how a lack of blessing his serious trait that he has identified as helping him to get where he is trying to go can lead to resistive and self-jeopardizing behavior. In which case, the next question I have to ask is, if you use me as like the archetype of intense seriousness, if you're being totally honest, how do you view me?
Very intense, very serious, very disciplined, very serious.
Do you bless that? Are you looking at it? Obviously, you know, okay, yeah, there's merit to it. Yeah, it does this. Yeah, there's positive there. Is there a huge resistance, like a, no, thank you. I'll take something else, please.
You know what? My answer maybe last week or 2 weeks ago would have been, nah, I don't want this. Like, this is just, nah. But now, knowing why I'm doing what I'm doing and where I'm trying to go, if you can go in with the mindset like, right, Donnie's serious. Donnie's trying to take his life in similar kind of echelons. Like, nah, nice. Load up and lace up, right? You've got a competitor. This is someone to get in the arena with. This is someone to... just to segue, I'd like to thank you, because a lot of our conversations are like interviews. Like, a lot of the time I'm on the phone with Eunice, it's like raw. And genuinely, like, I had some interviews at some well-respected, like, top-of-the-league kind of companies in recruitment, like, the past couple of months ago. And really and truly, they're making six figures, like, top of their game. And I'm like, nah, but Eunice, the conversations I've had with Eunice have put me more on edge than the interviews. And it serves you. Because you're like, really and truly, heads aren't in hands. Like, it's like, raw. Thank you, Eunice. Because I'm coming in now like, nah, this is easy, mate. This is handle. This is, I've been in the gauntlet. I've been in the gauntlet, mate.
Have you noticed how I always react to those kind of complimentary comments? I usually sigh, I usually shake my head. There's usually some kind of rejection there. And I touched on it last season. We had an episode on ego. I touched on it then, and just now I heard myself sigh, and I was thinking, right, what's the name of the episode? Bless that which you wish. That's one of my strengths. That's one of the things arguably I'm proud of. That's one of the things that seems to be bringing me value, and you've just said in that way, it seems to be bringing you value.
Trust.
What's it saying about the way I view being authentic? The way I view maybe being intense? The way I view being myself? If as soon as you put your finger on it, I'm sighing, shaking my head and want to reject it.
Trust.
How easy am I making it for myself to double down on all of the things that seems to be taking me and the people in my life where I and they want to go if my initial reaction is rejection? again, that's the introspective lens that I'm approaching this podcast on. That's the chapter of my life that I'm currently in. And I asked Marnie beforehand, do you want to get real? Do you want to get really, really real? And he said, yeah, okay. About a week ago, Marley organized a meeting with one of the people he works with. The first half of the meeting, somewhat standard. And I was like, yeah, I think we've got the meeting done. And I was kind of thinking, radical honesty is one of the things that I've wanted to double down on. And there are a load more thoughts in my head than I've currently communicated. So I asked Rob, was Marley's friend. I asked Rob, do you just want to hear it? And he said, yeah, okay. And I started saying it, and I saw Marley's head hit his hands. And he seemed to be in kind of dismay. Speak to me about that, Marley.
Just like to apologise, because that's not the kind of conduct that I think facilitates authenticity. So I just like to apologise.
It's fine.
My dismay, because I was just like, oh gosh. Or maybe I don't know. Maybe I overreact to it and I bring in my own dramatic self to it. You know, that's just... Because we had this at the PD project. Mm-hmm. Like, I was saying, I'd be, oh gosh, this guy. And then, what was it, Ella, who was the expansion manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, last year. At the time, she was looking at me like, Marley, like, what are you kind of complaining about? Like, so maybe it is me being dramatic, but I see it as like, oh gosh, like, this is going to be like, some intense.
And I saw it happening in a moment. And it was fine. Until just before we hopped on the episode, I was like, okay, yeah, that's a point. You can bring that up. And then I was like, but when I heard the way that I was dealing with my honesty and my authenticity, I was almost apologetic. I was hesitant to jump into it. I was almost apologetic. I was treating it as if it was this kind of me actually speaking about what I've thought so far is some kind of calamitous action that will just destroy everything and harm everyone. I was very tentative before I actually shared those opinions. And again, I think we will just be reiterating and illuminating this point again and again. Me and Marley, we had a whole recording on it. Honesty and authenticity is one of the things that we want. How much are we actually allowing ourselves to get there? If this is our response, if we haven't actually gone and done the work to say, okay, if you want to actually be honest, that's what it's going to look like. You need to stop reeling away from every image of that, because that's what you want, supposedly. If it's not, stop aspiring towards it. If that's actually what you want, bless it. Bless it. When it comes up, applaud it. Remind yourself, that's the image. That's the goal. That's the aim. None of this tentative, oh, it's calamitous. I can't say what I want. Oh, heads in hands when I see someone else doing it. We're never going to get there. And the way I'm approaching this is, it could be, again, this is this intense seriousness that Marley's talking about. This is this intense seriousness. But part of the reason why that's in place is because my honesty and my authenticity is one of the fundamental foundations for my entire life. There's a lot of things I want to do. It's important I get this one down. It's important I get all of these down. It's important when I'm looking at any kind of activity, any kind of attribute, that I've spoken to myself and said, what is that going to look like? Who would I be in light of this? Do I actually want to be the sort of person that gets this done? If the answer is yes, I need to start blessing. I need to start modeling myself after whatever image of a person that I've got. If I see someone else like that, no heads in hands.
trust.
It needs to be applause.
Big man singing. No, it's true. It's true. applause. I agree. Yeah. I like that.
Can we go a level deeper?
Of course.
Now again, this was a huge learning moment for me. This was a huge positive in every single way for me. It may not seem like it in the way perhaps you could discuss it. The day after, I received some voice notes from Marley, which was, I'm paraphrasing, I'm putting words in his mouth here, so please correct me, but from our relationship history, from our mutual understanding, the exhibition of almost everything that we wanted or we aspired towards being advertised in the most negative of light possible. The reason why I'm speaking to this isn't a story about you. This is a story about me. Because you were speaking to all of the fears that I had about the person that I was. You were speaking for me to a large extent in those voice notes. And when I heard you say it and I realized it, I was like, that is definitely one way you could view it. But it's one way you could view it. There are many other ways I could view it. I need to come to terms with, okay, what's my truth? Be aware, if you're any sort of person, there'll be people that love it, there'll be people that hate it. There'll be places where it works well, there'll be places where it works awfully. If I'm going to commit to any sort of person, I need to be aware of some of the negative consequences, perhaps. Some of the ways people could misinterpret, perhaps. And I need to use that as fuel to, okay, I don't think it has to be, I have to be Eunice and bad in all the ways that he can be bad. Based on how I communicate, based on how I conduct myself, we just may need to find a different tact, a different etiquette, a different way of being about things, so I don't have to sacrifice any of the things that I've aspired towards, but I get to leave some of the negative consequences behind. And that may be double down on everything that everyone has a problem with, but let them know exactly why you're doing what you're doing. Because often we condemn because we don't understand primarily. Often we're happy with a lot more consequences if we understand what we were trying to do and why. Speak to me.
We condemn what we don't understand. Powerful. Because if I'm flipping that into self-image, we condemn the parts of ourselves we don't understand, don't we? I mean, the things I understand about myself are the things I love about myself. Like, the things I don't necessarily have a firm grip on are the things that I hate about myself. The things that I'm ashamed of. The things that I don't necessarily understand. Why am I doing this? What's going on here? So it's hard to be blessed with it if you don't understand what's going on. Because if you understand what's going on, it's like 2 + 2 = 4, mate. Like, there is no real crisis. 2 + 2 = 4. Like,
yeah,
this was bound to happen.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to start doing with myself is going into the unknown with as much information as I have in this present moment. A lot of times, man, just stepping blind, not stopping to actually ask questions of what does radical honesty look like at a meeting at 12 o'clock? Because these are the everyday interactions I'm going to be in. I need to start looking at what the application of my values looks like in everyday life.
And maybe I was just thinking, have we been a bit obscure? For example, I was sitting down, Rob runs this business. I was sitting down with Rob. There was a potential of, okay, can I do anything to help him out? And I'd listened to what the business was. I'd listened to where it was going. I'd asked some questions. And I told Rob, as I said at the start of the episode or earlier, I think this project could get about 80 to 85% of me out of me. I think there are some things that are missing to get the final 15-20%. Now, why I was doing that is, okay, I've just learned something about myself and I have the potential to be much more of a benefit for you if I either identify and address what's going on here, or if you do. What that could look like is, who is this guy coming in saying something along the lines of, your project isn't good enough for me, I'd only give you a half-assed job. But when you understand what's behind it and you start to think, okay, what would me actually being radically honest look like? I think you adopt the view of the former rather than the latter. You adopt the view of, okay, this is someone in his authenticity letting you know how it is for him with the best intention so everyone can group together and get the most out of it, rather than arrogant, narcissistic idiot. And this is the sort of thing I'd need to do for myself. Because you could leave a meeting like that thinking, oh, Eunice, oh, what impression did you just give? Did you actually say that? I need to start having a few more of those conversations like myself so that I leave that meeting thinking, well done. More of that next time, please. I genuinely have a positive association with the sort of person that I am that gets this value of be honest, be authentic done. What are you saying, man?
I'm saying, yeah, I love that mindset, that perspective flip. All of the reasons I hate myself are all of the reasons I should love myself. Kind of vibe. Kind of.
Yeah. With many asterisks off that statement, but yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
I get what you mean.
Because, yeah, like, a lot of the times it's just, you're thinking about how you're scared to be perceived. Like, I'm scared of being perceived as just absolute, just up himself. Absolute, just, nah, who does he think he is? Mm. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is?
Mm.
And then, like, when your external reality kind of makes you, it, like, what, you've got no friends, you're spending Christmas alone. It's like, well, it kind of feeds, you're just looking at it. It's, that's pain.
Mm.
Like, I'm not surrounded by anyone at Christmas. Well, not, I spent Christmas with Jose. But, like, I feel isolated, like, from my friends and family in the UK. Is it because I'm an arrogant, narcissistic piece of work that values his peace of mind and his personal development and his music above everything else? Is that why I can't, you know, have successful dealings with women in relationships? Is it all on me? Because I do feel like just very isolated, just like an island, and I feel like people are running, like, if everybody's the problem, like, surely you are. Like, everybody see, not everybody, I can't say everybody, but a lot of people in my life seem to kind of make note to similar things, like the similar problems usually arise, especially in relationships with women or whatever. It's usually, hey, you think you are, you're arrogant. That's usually the tone. And I'm thinking, I've just tried to be honest. Like, I've just tried to honestly tell you my feelings and where I'm at, just so you know, with chest and with my heart, that this is how I feel. It's just that, hey, you're so arrogant. And you're left just feeling raw. Like, this is what happens when you express your feelings. Like, you're arrogant. It's like,
do you know how I'm trying to view it? This is what happens when we're inauthentic. If, say, if we bless that which we wish, we want honesty, we want confidence, we want whatever, we would advertise it. We would speak about it. People would know about it. That would be an accepted part of my, well, some people wouldn't like it. Some people would go their separate way. That would probably be an accepted part of Marley. To the point you'd see it and it's like, yeah, okay, he doesn't hide this part of him away. He's spoken about it before. I understand what's going on here. And then you attract the people who that is fine for or with, who gravitate towards that. But when our PR is almost saying, nah, I'm not, if we need to be arrogant here, I'm not arrogant, I'm not confident, I'm not this, I'm never going to put myself about, I'm never going to do this, never going to do that. And then you have these fleeting bits of authenticity and it actually comes out. You've just gathered a whole group of people around you who aren't there for who you actually are. Part of the reason why they don't know who you actually are, you may be ashamed about all of these aspects of yourself.
Wow.
You haven't blessed it. If you bless it, you'll accept it. It'll come. That's the story I'm telling myself. If I genuinely view this as positive, I know what I do with the positives in my life. I share them. People know they happen. People know, okay, this is a part of me. I advertise them. Everyone gets behind it. I bring people in. I say, here, like, eat. Eat. I'm eating. Eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
When I'm inauthentic, I try and give you a show. What I think is acceptable. What I've allowed myself to appreciate. Parts of my authenticity bleed out. People were never there for that. People don't understand it. It pushes people away. So why I said I think this happens when we're inauthentic, because I do think if we blessed that which we truly wished, we'd share it, we'd attract people who are there for that. So when the authentic Marley comes out that some people may think is arrogant, obviously you do need to ask yourself, am I just being arrogant? But you could just be being honest. If people are there for your honesty, people will stay when they see your honesty. That's how I think we connect and feel less like an island, less isolated.
Share them, advertise them. Yeah, no, I'm going to start taking this. Like,
if I make it real between me and you, even those voice notes, I don't think you've had a single negative sentiment to me about those voice notes, which were deeply challenging. It was just like, okay, Eunice, basically, here's everything wrong with what I'm seeing. Part of the reason, one of the first things I thought is, this person, I believe he does have, I don't know to what extent positive, but largely I'm not doubting his intentions here. He is being what I want from myself. Honest. Honest. We have a dynamic where we cherish it, which meant when I saw it, even though it was uncomfortable, I stayed. If anything, it's brought us closer together. If we hid from our honesty, if we were ashamed of our honesty, if we did whatever the opposite of blessed our honesty is, we probably would have been on two separate paths. You would have been feeling a bit like a lonely island for being who you wanted to be.
Mm. That's giving me food for thought.
Mm.
Like, you're being inauthentic. Because that's how I feel. It's like, oh, people don't love me for who I actually am. Like there are a few people that, like, they're going to see everything that, like, they appreciate.
Mm.
That I'm going to say how I feel, that I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be like they're going to, that's what they're here for. But others, it's like, especially in regards to my female relationships, especially.
That's where I wanted to move to next. There's a couple, I wrote out a couple of topics. Religion, parenthood, that's probably fatherhood for us. Career, openness, honesty, healing. Let's look at relationships next. Would you know where to start us off in an investigation if you're thinking this bless that which you wish lens? Or are we going to try and identify how we're going to approach this?
No, I'll come in with, like, my usual experience with females and dating or whatever is things usually go left when I start not hiding things.
Like, when you start not hiding things?
Yeah.
Mm.
Usually I'll have, like, concerns or grievances or whatever.
Mm.
That I'll just suppress. I'll just hold down because it's like, oh no, like,
yes.
Compromise, yes. Like, oh no, you do your thing. Da, 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 da. You try to be, I don't know, like a nice guy. You try to make people feel. I try to, you know, like, make you feel good. Da, 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 da. But then usually, what will happen is, right, things start going left to the point where, right, a conversation needs to be had.
Yes,
conversation is had. You come in with I'm just going to tell you how I feel. Nicely worded paragraph. All hell breaks loose.
All hell. All hell. All hell. All hell. Yes. I agree. All hell. Again, this is touching on the No, it wasn't the previous episode. Episode 23. Friendships, I believe. Where Malik was saying all of these little things. All of these little things. It was never quite big enough to bring up. But they've accumulated. They've accrued some debt. You need to cash in your debt sooner rather than later. Whoever you're with just gets hit with like a, what, $4,000 balance. All hell breaks loose. And I'm thinking, okay, why is that? I could come at it from a single lens. People will come to their own conclusions. I don't know if anyone's currently got conclusions. I don't know what your conclusions are. Between, for example, it will be a cryptic example, where I sit on the scale of liberal to conservative. To some, I'm probably too liberal for their likes. For others, I'm way too conservative for their likes. One of the things I think we don't have in this society is comfort in expressing some of our more conservative, less progressive views. I don't know what example that I'm giving here. I can't think of an exact example, but say you're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. I don't like that we share this about ourselves. I don't like that we do X, Y, and Z. But you don't say anything because you don't want to sound like the prude. Mm. The prude that maybe you are.
Just.
Meanwhile, you want to be authentic. Meanwhile, you want to live in an authentic relationship. What you wish for is authenticity, which means if I need to be a prude here, if I need to say maybe this is a step too far, I say it. When I run the mental image, though, I have not blessed that at all. I look down on that, and therefore it never happens. Therefore, I never let myself be that. A lack of authenticity always comes with a price, however. So after a while, it's gotten too far. It's gotten too far. We need to cash in this debt. I can't hold on to it. All hell breaks loose.
I'll say that it's maybe a bit radical, but it's that if you're getting left with a $4,000 bank balance, well, you should never have been given a credit card to begin with.
Yeah.
Which does leave you looking at your past relationships. Right? I mean, I've only been in one proper relationship, but if we're saying like relationships in general, like you are left looking just really and truly, was I even at the table? Like there was nothing. Oh, that sounds harsh, but it's like there's nothing here, is there? There's nothing really here because I'm not here. Who I actually am is not present. You're seeing everything that I'm pushing to the side.
And part of, I want to give that self to myself. And that requires changing how I view it. I don't know. I don't know if I think I'm prudish. I don't know if you think I'm prudish. Maybe I'm the most prudish guy on the planet. If I want to be my full authentic self in my next relationship, I need to remove all of the negative connotations toward prude. And I need to look at prudes who speak up for what you want to speak up for and applause and say spot on. Because right now I condemn who it is that I want to be. I'm never going to be it. I need to flip that script for myself. I need to start sitting down with me and think, what does it look like to be this, to do this? And sort out all of the negativity that I have there. Or realize this isn't the path for me, actually. I genuinely don't like that prude. Let me change my ways.
Lack of authenticity, yeah, I think is dangerous. Dangerous, 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 dangerous stuff. When you're not being real to who you are, it's never ending well. It's never ending well. And I don't want to be that guy that's like, yeah, I'm the realest guy ever. Everybody's fake, blah, 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 blah. But I would confidently say, I don't know, I'm a lot more prepared to be honest than from what it seems a lot of the people around me. There are people that understand it and vibe with it and actually appreciate it, and Surprise, surprise, they're the people who live their lives by similar values, so there's no problems.
Mm. I've still got a lot of work to do in this regard. Because if I look back at my previous relationship, the places where I was inauthentic, if I had replaced that by authentic actions, there's still some hesitation. That's not acceptable. Do you really want to be moving like that? Like, do you really want to have to say that? Are you really committing to that kind of conduct? There's still resistance there. So I've still got some work to do there. I'm going to have to, and what do I mean by this? Work. I was telling Marley today, there's a couple plans I want to write for how I want to conduct myself going forwards, for the sort of person that I want to be. It could be as little as have a few daydreams. If I go back to those challenging spots in my last relationship and think, okay, maybe I would have nipped it in the bud and said, absolutely not. Sorry to disappoint. I'm not comfortable with this at all. Right now, you may be thinking, oh, vibe killer. There's going to be tears. There's going to be arguments. There's my sentiment towards that is a whole lot of negativity. I need to flip that script. I need to cherish the vibe killer if the vibe killer is who I need to be. Or I need to realize, actually, yeah, you are just killing vibes. That is just negative. You don't want any of that. Change your ways.
Yeah, that's a lot of food for thought. Cause, yeah, it just makes sense, just that, why everything just kind of crumbles. Just, well, I wasn't being true to who I was from the get-go. It's really intuitive. Like, you know it's not what you stand for, otherwise you'd be standing with it today. What you truly stand for, you stand for, and it stands the test of time. If it's really, maybe this again, people say this is too serious, this is too intense, this is radical, blah, blah, blah. But if there's no authenticity to it, really, what is it? Not to say it's a problem with it, but no wonder you're fighting all the time. No wonder things aren't as blessed as you'd like them to be.
It's difficult. It is difficult though, because, like, for example, I'm thinking, there's been a couple times with my family where a lot of the times it's reached the stage where the sentiment I have to me ever opening up my mouth or being authentic or doing any of the things that I want to do is negative, because I'm like, you're just going to kill the mood. You're just going to cause pain. It's just going to be quabbles, tears, / whatnot. I view it as totally negative. And that's because it may be short term, it may be long term, some negative will come from it. People may feel bad, people may cry. What we're not necessarily talking about is tact and etiquette. That's a whole different conversation. This conversation isn't licensed for reckless abandon and just saying, yes, actually, I do want to be that person, and that's what he looks like, and I'm going to adore him, and then I'm just going to unleash him on the world. There's always tact and etiquette. But for me, I think a large part of it needs to be shifting, like Eunice being Eunice and doing what he thinks is best for his family in this instance. Isn't Eunice being some kind of tyrant that makes people feel bad? Because that's a lot of what stops me from opening up my mouth 99% of the time. People won't appreciate you saying this. That needs to change for me, I think. And this is just me doubling down on me, which is advisable, but again, I need to make sure that fundamentally I'm doing the right things. There's no point doubling down on yourself if yourself is bringing out about a whole load of bad. There's a lot of shifts in how I view things, because otherwise that voice is going to come in just before you want to do it. Oh no, don't do that, Eunice. Oh no, don't be that person, Eunice. And in 10 years time, you're looking back and you're thinking, why am I not the son that I wanted to be? The brother that I wanted to be? Why don't I have the family that I wanted? The wife that I wanted? The career that I wanted? There was so much of you and your views who wanted nothing more than to stop you from being one of those people. Because you had nothing but disparaging views for who it was that you needed to be, for how it was that you needed to act, for how it was that you needed to think. Until you settled all of those conflictions, I don't think you can fully lock in. You can fully double down. I don't think things will come to you as easily.
So what does that look like in practice?
I'll give an example. It'll be a slightly drawn out one, so it'll be another chapter of this conversation. What do you think about making a lot of money?
I think chasing money as if it's the be all and end goal and it's a measure of your worth as a human being is always going to end up in disappointment. But I kind of see money as like, not proof, but like it is a measure of how self-developed you are. I don't know, maybe this is controversial.
Mm.
And it's a certain mindset.
That measurement isn't always accurate. It's not like a rule, like you make a pound more than me, then therefore you're a pound more self-developed. But I think what you're getting at is, in general, money follows where value is generated. There's lots of different value. Isn't always moral value, isn't always social value. Money does follow some things that does social bad, but money follows where a specific type of value is generated. That's how I view it. I'm equating our two views there.
Yeah. So if you can create value for yourself, money will come to you. The amount of value you can create for yourself is obviously, I think, reflected in the monetary compensation.
Mm.
I think some billionaire said, like, you could distribute the wealth today evenly. You could distribute all wealth today evenly across the world. It will still end up in the same hands.
Precisely. That's how I think about it as well. But I'm a bit unsure. Two things. We live in a capitalist society. I'm unsure, and this is me trying to give you the answer. What does this look like? I don't really know what capitalism is. I don't really know my views on it. I've kind of adopted some of the negative sentiments, though. I don't really know where it is, but I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, capitalism, it's exploitative, it's bad, it's this, it's that. Your millionaires and billionaires are successful capitalists.
Mm.
I don't necessarily want to be a millionaire or a billionaire. I just want to generate a lot of value. I wouldn't be surprised if I was able to generate the amount of value that I seek to generate, money would follow. If it turns out I hate capitalism and everything it stands for, is that not just me becoming everything I don't want to be?
Yeah, it is.
Would that not, like, part of me is going to be aware of that to a certain extent. You may not be able to put your finger on it. That's where a lot of anxiety comes from. Like, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's still just speaking to me and it's not making full sense. That could be a career's worth of, don't become the person you want to be, Eunice. Jeopardize, get in the way. Jeopardize. I want to start a business. If this business is successful, could you not call me a successful capitalist?
Yeah.
Part of this in action for me is, okay, go and read some books on capitalism and figure out how you think about it. Figure out, can you be, a lot of people as well, you can either be rich or kind. You can either be capitalist or moral. You can either be rich or have time for your family, or be connected with your friends, or be connected for the community, or do good things for the community. I need to decide whether or not it's an and or an or. If it's an or, that's not me. Find a different place. Find a different path. If it's an and, let me bless that which I wish. Let me be proud to be a successful capitalist. Let me look at all of the ways in which I think successful capitalists are doing capitalism well. There's many ways in which you can do it badly. That's why my sentiment is a bit, don't know about that, but a lot of people say it's a bit bad. Let me convince my whole self, this is the person I want to be, and I like that person. And I model myself after that person. And I bless who he is, and I bless what he does.
Mm.
Otherwise, by virtue of me not even knowing what capitalism is, but adopting some of these sentiments, which is like, yeah, I'm sure it's a bit exploitative, isn't it? Like, I'm sure there's bad things that comes about it. By me not informing myself, there may be that last 1 or 2% of me whose lifetime agenda is stop Eunice from being a capitalist. Which means I can never commit myself fully to business. Which means self-jeopardy, self-doubt, anxiety, this, that. Will plague the whole journey. So you ask me, what does that look like? I want to start reading some books on capitalism, figure it out. Okay. Is this how I want to go about it? If the answer is no, we need to rethink. Because I want to be authentic to myself. I'm not just going to ditch myself because I want the capitalism and the business and the money and the... If the answer is yes, I need to show myself, what does that look like? Are there any examples of people living it? Look over there, fantastic. Applaud it. Bless it. Look to how I could envision it happening. Fantastic. Applaud it. Bless that which I wish. Because that's how I think I can be the most open and accepting to it. Does that paint the picture?
No, beautiful. Like, you just unlocked so many areas of my brain there. Like, what the thinking needs to be. Because really and truly, really, if we're being serious, a lot of the time we just lock ourselves out of being the people we want to be. We just, you're seeing greatness, you're seeing people that are dominating their field, and it's like, really and truly, you just need to do what they did and be authentic to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a, that's what I'm kind of thinking, aspirational competition, as you were speaking, like aspirational, you're looking at the Donnies who are in the field you're trying to be in.
Mm.
Look at what they're doing and look only at them.
Mm.
Nowhere else.
Mm.
Not Tom, Dick and Harriet down the road. Like, what lanes are you trying to talk about? If you want to make some money...
To an extent, this isn't just blind adoption. I think when you're looking at, okay, what did they do? Pass that through the lens. Who am I? What do I agree with? What of that? Okay, yes. I accept you, or okay, no, that's where me and you go our separate ways. To the extent that you're looking at the okay, yes, applaud it, bless it, do the work. It may not be as it first seems. You may think, nah, he was too blunt. Did you see how maybe this celebrity man, did you see how he responded to that to that interviewer? But hold on. Was he protecting his boundaries and speaking his truth? Yes, bless it. Bless it. Model yourself after it. That was just a little... Is addendum the word? Like an add-on? It's not just blind acceptance. This is about us.
This is a certain conversation. This has probably been the most beautiful episode I've been on. It's just unlocking. It's unlocking. It's right. What the mindset has to be going forwards.
Because again, even here, within this conversation, bless that which you wish. Part of me is thinking, okay, you turn the mic on to try and generate as much value for yourself and the people on the mic, or the people in the conversation with you. So success, again, we talked about it last episode. Success is we've done the best job we could do for us to give us as much as we could get. The other part of me thinking, the reason why you're recording it and sharing it, and the reason why it's a podcast rather than private, is because it's for public consumption. In which case, it needs to be palatable. Part of me has been hesitant to double down on have exactly the conversations Eunice wants to have. Some of them are slow. Some of them are open. Some of them are casual. Some of them are rambling. Versus well-polished podcasts that you see out there. There's that little confliction. And again, I haven't sat there and thought, if I'm really in this for the PD, and as much as I want to build an engaged audience, I want to love the audience, they're secondary, primary. If there's a two-man conversation, mine and your personal development, I need to start looking at, don't care if it's rambling. I don't care if it's casual. I don't care if we're thinking, but we could make this more juicy and engaging. Bless it.
Double down on it.
Model yourself in future conversations after it. Go look back as I'm doing the editing. Think, what episodes gave me the most, and did it seem like myself and the rest of the speakers got the most out of it? Find what their characteristics were. Double down. But I think what this is doing for me, identify those conflictions, and it's giving me a way to sort of set them at ease a bit more. Because by and large, for every aspect of every part of my life, there's conflicted views. It's never a unanimous decision. Some of them The majority is 49-50. 51, sorry. Some of the majority is 90-10. I think this helps it get towards more of a unanimous decision. When I can sit there and say, let me have a conversation with the 10% that opposes it. Let me look at the evidence in a slightly different way. Let me serve it to you as something that you can fully get behind.
Oi! No. This is the episode. This is gold. That is gold. Because there's always that conflicting side.
Mm.
If we can get the conflicting side of ourselves on board, fully backing it, oh my gosh, come on. Because that 10% can be, it's 10%, but it can hold you back.
100%. That 10% is a difference between, in an interview, you're trying to sell them on you fundamentally. That 10% is a difference between saying all the right answers, verbatim, exactly what you wanted to have said. That extra 10% is the conviction that makes them believe in it. Which could be the difference between you getting the job and not. But if I'm walking in there, oh no, don't be honest. Don't be Eunice. Don't be this. Don't be that. It's intense. It's 10% of myself is its life mission is for me never to be that person.
Wow. We are doing something here. Like that right there was, for anybody listening, might be one of the greatest gems you've ever been given.
Right, your words are not mine. I hope it is, because more good in the world, but yeah, your words are not mine. Hopefully, nah. I don't know. I usually know how I feel about a conversation in the edit. If I feel the same way, I'll write in the description. If I feel the same way, I'll back it, I'll write in the description.
Just that conflict, just getting, like, what's he saying? What's this conflict? What's the conflict here? Because we're never really firmly committal in a lot of the things we do. Mm. We're never, I want to be 100% in, mate. I want to be living fully.
Mm.
I want to be tasting. You can't enjoy life if you're not 100% in it. I'm sorry.
Mm.
In everything. Obviously, we strive our whole lives.
Is there anything else you wanted to bring to this conversation? There's a final chapter that I can close us out on. But if there's any other way you wanted to explore it, we'll do that now.
No, this has been gems. Gems.
I'm glad. Because part of me didn't quite know, or there was a slight bit more of a question mark about, just in some of the recent chapters, about how on board are people with the PD that's trying to be going on?
Much as I'm glad
it sounds as if...
No, as much as you're on board with it. As much as you're on board with it, I think, is the answer to that. People are on board with the PD project as much as you are on board with your own PD.
Even when Eunice is doubling down on intensity, seriousness, radical honesty, heads are in hands, people are reeling away. That conversation was a crisis for me. Nah, let's not talk in a week. Give me some time.
But you know why you're doing it.
Mm.
And that usually weeds out the people that you're not even going to be in those rooms. You're going to be in your rooms. Because you're living your truths, your values, your existence. Right? You're going to end up with your people and your lane, I think.
Mm, 100%. 100%. The final thing. Short note. Marley and I had a conversation last night. And we were talking about some of the plans that we wanted to write. And I don't know if this has been quite up in the air, quite abstract, a bit cryptic. Other than the running the thought experiments, like thinking about it, buying the book on capitalism, see, okay, can I get behind this? I'm currently writing a bit of a plan. I'm writing the preface now. The first chapter is on a whole load of conflictions that I have, where I detail, okay, this is the part of me that gets behind even writing this very plan. That's what I've got to. Writing this very plan, it's like, what if I fail on it? Am I writing this as if, like, hard, you can't deviate, you have to follow it through, in which case it's what? Yeah, 2 weeks before I drop the first ball, and then I just feel awful about the whole thing, and I just feel like I'm not living up to the person that I wanted to be. Sooner rather than later, I'm quitting the whole thing. So it was just detailing those conflictions, and again, trying to picture, do I want to be the sort of person that would get this done? Do I want this hard stance, like, beat me over the head, you have to deliver, you have to perform? Or, as me and Marley have talked about a bit more, do I want to approach this as a, I'm there for the person that I am now, who is imperfect and who, by and large, doesn't stick to anything that he wants to do, rather than the person that I want to be and work from there? And as I'm picturing this, as I'm saying, okay, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to strive, I will be asking myself, do I bless that which I wish? And a big driver for me, family, friends, relationships. I started writing this plan because it's a bit like a business plan. Okay, where am I taking this? Sooner rather than later, it's like, how many hours am I going to put in? Is it 30? Is it 40? Is it 60? Is it 80? Is it 100? Sooner rather than later, you start thinking, can I do 100 hours and be social and be there for a family and be there for friends? What does a sort of person that would actually do this look like? Some of those people, I'm like, nah, that couldn't be me. Other of those people have had to realize, yeah, if you go about this a certain way, maybe you could do X amount of hours a week. But you would still have to sacrifice X, Y, and Z, which right now I'm like, recluse. He just lives in his cave. He just does this. That's where I'm saying, if this is the sort of person I want to be, I need to bless that which I wish. We're just running with the example. Maybe I need to have a bit more pride when I'm talking about, yeah, I just spent the last week doing laptop duty, really, nothing else. Rather than the current shame, because half of you thinks, yeah, you got no life, you got no priorities. What's going on? So for me, as well as the day-to-day, this is really coming into effect when I'm trying to plan things out. Because I've left academia, I haven't quite entered the workforce. I intend to create my own, which means there's no plan or structure that I don't give myself. So I thought, write out this plan. And one of the ways I wanted to fully get behind it is by allaying all of those conflictions. That's what led me to this conversation. Anything you want to add to that, Marley? Or are we done?
Just the process. Because you can't be sitting there like, why don't you just go into the workforce?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to make all this money? Why are you trying to create all of this value?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to this is, I am actually here for the growth that it will provide me. In just setting out to this, it's not about getting there. Really and truly, the money, accolades, that's not what we're doing it for. Now, I believe it's a byproduct of actually doubling down on yourself.
Precisely. And
putting in those reps and.
Precisely.
But doing it for that? No. It's empty.
It's empty. Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, if I want a Ballon d'Or, like, what? Do you just want a Ballon d'Or? I got a Ballon d'Or. Like, I'm a baller. Or do you want the Ballon d'Or for...
The self, like, and the life that you set up in this pursuit.
Yeah.
The meaning, the motivation, the growth, the... I hear that.
Like, I'm making less money than I made last year, but I've got a smile on my face.
Mm. Bless that. Bless. Get rid of that shame. Get rid of that shame. What do you do? I'm a musician. How much money do you make? Next to nothing. Bless it.
Bless it, trust.
Bless it. Say it. It's difficult. Don't get me wrong. Say it with pride. Because I've taken a year out. You ask those questions. What do you do? Are you making any money? That person's waking up tomorrow trying to double down on, yeah, let's get this done. When that's how I feel about it.
Trust.
Perfect. Trust. I think that's us. Right. There's a good start. 2022. First recording in 2022. Episode 25 of the Personal Development Podcast. A quarter of a century. I look forward to, well, if we're still about, if we're still doing this, if you're still here, let's crown the century with another two-man team, Marley and Yudis. We'll look back to this day, 2022. We were at half a century, whichever year it is, if we get to the century. Thank you very much. I hope this sheds a tiny bit more light on what we're trying to do here at the Personal Development Project. And I hope it's convinced you to...
It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness.
It's a different kind of pain. Social media at PDProjectLTD. Get in contact. Would love to hear from you. For now, we'll focus consistency with the podcast. Sooner rather than later, I do want to be building out a community of like-minded people. Striving to generate as much value for themselves and others as they find themselves and their path.
Yes.
And I do want you to be a part of that. It's coming soon. It's coming. I'm not there yet. Slow steps. It's coming soon. Until next fortnight, enjoy the rest of your day. This has been Uniski. I've been joined by...
Marley Gunter, Guapo Miles.
This has been the Personal Development Project, first episode of 2022. And that's a wrap.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much.